Good morning, and welcome into the Blitz live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live on Fan Run Radio. Happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Get another day closer to Christmas.
That's what we're counting down to now?
Well, I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
What do you want to count down
to? I don't know.
We can count down to the Orange Bowl.
No, Christmas feels better.
We can count down to Tennessee, Maryland.
That's a good idea. What, 5 days?
I don't know.
Till that? It's maybe on Sunday?
It's on Sunday, the 11th, right?
Yeah, Sunday. Or is it on Saturday?
No, it's on Sunday. Is that 5 days? Yeah, that's two. Well, do we include today? It's still pretty early.
We should probably include today. So six?
6 days.
6 days.
We're only 6 days until Tennessee plays undefeated top 15 Maryland.
Top 15 matchup.
Unless Maryland loses, because they do play.
But they'll still be top 15 on Sunday. So.
Right. They are actually road underdog tomorrow night. Or tonight.
Against who?
Tonight. They are road underdog against Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Ten play.
I'm Charlie Collier. Not to my left is Andy Brock.
Directly in front of you.
Yeah, directly in front of me. Directly in front of the TV. Andy Brock. I'm already rattled with this game just right here in front of me. I didn't realize like how good it is just to have this TV with the World Cup on directly in front of you. I'm sitting in the producer chair today. No Sam Beard. Sam's sick today. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully. I'm back in the producer chair today. You can see me on the producer cam if you want to. But I just get a head-on direct view of this television. It's pretty nice. So what? We got 6 days till Tennessee plays Maryland. We got 5 days till Army-Navy.
Huh? Yeah. England and France.
England and France.
That's a fun one.
The exact opposite of Army-Navy, basically.
Yeah. Yes. We've got our little conflict, Army-Navy. They've got theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ours is better.
I agree.
Yeah. What else?
You're a big Army-Navy guy?
Big Army-Navy, yeah. I mean, it's just big football guy.
True.
We can count down to the first bowl game, Friday, December 16th at 11:30 in the morning.
What's the first one? That's 10 days from now.
11:30 in the morning, Miami of Ohio plays UAB in the hometown Lenders Bahamas Bowl.
There we go. The one and only.
The best
kicks
one.
It off, too. That's not fair. I mean, the earliest one shouldn't be the one of the warmest weather, you know? We needed, like, a really cold bowl game.
I don't like that the Bahamas Bowl is this early.
It should be, like a really cold bowl
I feel like
game.
It's typically later. Like, I can remember watching the comeback and Hail Mary on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, yes. I remember that, too.
You also remember that
I
being
watched
on Christmas
it. Yeah.
Eve? Okay, cool.
It was on Christmas Eve. So very early, yes. But they also need to if they're going to have a Bahamas Bowl, they need to have like a Nunavut Canada Bowl or like a Greenland Bowl that's just like really cold. So they have it
play
closes
on the same day.
Yes. So you get one that's just like it's almost too hot to be playing football in December in this weather, and then the other it's just like it's in the negatives.
Like it is dangerously cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it will be like 80 degrees in the Bahamas.
If
you're Miami of Ohio, you probably haven't played a game in like above
September.
Freezing temperatures in at least a month.
Yeah. Who do they play again?
UAB.
Okay. UAB will be fun.
UAB is a 10-point favorite. I think Miami's a little sneaky in that game.
UAB, home of Coach Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, exactly. You're telling me you're taking a team that just pinned a letter to their president asking for their interim head coach to be their head coach? Team that just said, that just had the athletic department entirely ignore them to hire a big old doofus, Trent Dilfer, you're telling me that team's going to be motivated enough to win by 10 points over Blaine Gabbert's little brother? Not a chance.
Not a chance.
It's really throwing me off, by the way, that Spain is wearing blue in this game.
Yeah, it is a little bit, isn't it?
I don't get it. But Morocco's kind of been tearing them up a little bit here early. Is this an upset special?
You know, the part of me wants Spain and Portugal, who play today, both play today, to meet in the next round.
Portugal plays, who do they play? Switzerland?
They play Switzerland, yeah.
Well, I want to see Switzerland and Morocco.
Okay. That would be cool, too. I think either way, it's drawn up. We're going to have a great time.
So, all right. What else can we count down to? Christmas? Hanukkah?
New Year's?
I don't know when Hanukkah starts.
A little bit before Christmas, right?
I think so.
Because Hanukkah in itself
also,
is like a countdown
Kwanzaa
to
like a couple days after Christmas?
Yeah, it's usually right after. Yeah.
We got a lot we can count down to. How are you today, Andy?
I'm doing great. It's very rainy again outside.
Yeah.
I looked at my weather app, and it's like there's no respite, no refuge from the rain for at least 10 days.
What?
Yeah. Check it out.
Okay. 60% chance today.
At least.
90% chance tomorrow.
It's unreal.
60% chance Thursday, 80% on Friday. Okay, we might get a break this weekend. 30% chance Saturday.
But it's not even going to be sunny. It's just going to be cloudy.
40% chance Sunday, no rain Monday. Tuesday, 50%. Wednesday, 60%. Okay, so it's just going to be wet. Sounds good. The Titans better beat the Jaguars then, because if it's just raining for 2 weeks and I haven't seen the Titans win in three, I'm going to be in a dark place. It's not going to be good.
Fair enough. Yeah. Other than that, we're sitting pretty.
Get anything good last night?
Made dinner.
What'd you make?
Some chicken and some rice. Really exciting,
real
huh?
Creative. Real exciting.
Really creative.
Absolutely.
There was some sauce on it. You put some...
I was actually about to also make chicken and rice yesterday, and then my buddy's dad came to town for work, so he took us to dinner and took us bowling instead.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was a good night.
What'd you bowl?
It was not a good night for bowling. I couldn't find the pocket.
Are you typically a decent bowler? Like what?
Typically like 130, 140, 150 like plus kind of guy.
So that's like above the average.
But I was just barely getting to 100 last night. It was a bad night.
Are you one of those guys that like you throw it directly down the middle?
No,
or do you like
spinning
it?
So I start on the left and roll it to the right, and it goes to.
Oh, you go left to right.
It don't.
So like you bend your wrist backwards.
No. Like I start on the left, but then turn my body towards the right and roll it to the right half of the lane, and it goes almost all the way to the gutter, and it kind of like skims across the gutter, and then it dives back in and towards the pocket.
So it ends up going like that, like from right to
like
left.
Like at bananas.
Yes, but it goes from right to left, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying I start on the left.
I just can't like.
Because if I start on the right.
Yes, no,
it's
I get what you're saying.
Then it's just going to,
I get
to
what you're
break
saying
all the way into the
either
gutter.
Either way, like that. Do you put your fingers in the like?
I don't put the thumb in the hole.
Okay. Gotcha. Because I can't ever get my wrist to cooperate with the whole spin nature.
No, I don't put my thumb in the hole. But last night, for whatever reason, it was just diving too much, and I couldn't get it to like spin less. And I just kept missing to the left of the pocket. It was really frustrating.
That would be frustrating.
But if I went any more right, it was just going to go into the gutter. So I just like needed to take spin off the ball, and I just couldn't, and it was driving me insane.
I do like to reverse spin it too, though.
When I have like pins over on tucked in on the right, I always reverse spin it from left to right. Flick your wrist the opposite way.
I'm just a barrel it down the middle, see what happens.
I was a barrel it down the middle and see what happens guy for a long time, and I was good. Like I think like my best score was like a 239.
Wow.
But
it's
you just
insane.
You hit a ceiling as a bowler if you're just bowling it straight, because you can't get that. Like you're needing to bowl hard and get a little lucky every time, whereas, you know, to really maximize your ceiling, you need to be able to spin it so you can spin it into the pocket and hit that same pocket consistently so you can get the proper knockdown of the pins, like the proper way.
See, I'm not trying to elevate my bowling game.
Trying to elevate my bowling game.
Just trying to chuck it around.
So I've ditched the bowl straightway because I want to be able to elevate my ceiling, but it's really lowered my floor as I kind of have been learning to get the feel for consistently like being able to find the pocket.
I go bowling maybe once every year, maybe two.
I love bowling.
So
I'm own bowling shoes too. So
I'm never gonna veer away from the straight barrel down the middle.
You should get your own bowling shoes and start bowling more.
I'm
bowling
not gonna
shoes
get bowling
are
shoes.
No, that's the best investment a man can make.
It's you have your own bowling shoes? Shoes?
Yes.
I wouldn't use them, but
you know how much it cost me to bowl like three games last night? Like $4.
Because you had your shoes?
Yeah.
Is shoes what is?
Shoes are the expensive part.
Really?
Yeah. Like so, when you go to bowl, it'll be like $5-6 for shoes. And it'll be like a dollar, like $2 a game, $3 a game, something like that.
Huh. Well, again, I don't
so like how. But when you go to bowling places and they have like the specials, like last night it was $1.50 games. I already have my shoes, so I don't even have to pay them the $6 for the shoes. I can just bowl for $1.50 a game. I can walk in there with 6 quarters and bowl.
I'm also not gonna be that guy that brings his own shoes and then bowls under 100. It can't happen.
I did that once last
night. It can't happen.
I mean, it's just you're that guy that's making a valuable and conscious money decision. That's what you are.
True. But I feel like if I own bowling shoes, then I gotta back up this purchase.
That's why you're gonna start going every Monday when there's dollar games. You know, you walk in $5, play 5 games, in 2 months you're a good bowler.
It makes sense. I won't do it.
It's a shame.
Won't do it.
It's a shame. Well, we're off and rolling here. In the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I was going to say Sam send us to break, but that's just me. So I'll send us to break. We'll be back with more next on The Blitz. Stay with us on Fan Run Radio.
Linderman Sports Medicine, the Volunteer State's leader in orthopedic...
More snow up in Colorado than my roof will ever see. Tender Tennessee Christmas is the only Christmas for me.
Back here on The Blitz. Isn't that nice?
Every now and then.
I mean, that really is just... My bad, Andy. I accidentally just turned your mic all the way off.
That's fine. You can leave it off if you need.
Sounded really nice.
It sounded very nice.
I
That made me feel... Like I need to go back to bed.
I'm kind of
a little bit. Rainy, I'm not gonna lie.
A rainy December, yeah. December morning.
I need, yeah. That made me a little bit more sleepy.
Maybe I need to find an upbeat Christmas song.
We could have a little bit of both. Yeah, next one. We're going.
Oh, I got us.
We're going all out.
So, what's the story of the day today, Andy? It's pretty apparent.
There's a lot of stories. Yeah,
the thing that's got everyone pretty riled up today.
Very riled up. Very
and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Pretty riled up myself.
Hendon
Hooker.
Would. Yep.
Hendon Hooker, just not a Heisman finalist. I can't really explain why Hendon Hooker is not a Heisman finalist. I certainly think that most of the college football landscapes tends to agree based on the public reaction. And, you know, your Heisman finalist... Obviously, you got C.J. Stroud, you got Caleb Williams, you got, you know, Max Duggan. But then you also have Stetson Bennett. And I want to preface this conversation by saying this. We're not going to sit here, at least we shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't at home either on Twitter or whatever else. We're not going to sit here and we're not going to just diminish everything that Stetson Bennett's accomplished. We're not going to sit here and trash Stetson Bennett. That's a really good quarterback. That is a very good quarterback. He's done a lot of great things this year. He is an above average, I think, good, probably even very good quarterback. That is what Stetson Bennett is. I know that people want to say that, oh, you know, he's playing with a great defense. He's playing with some really good weapons, you know, some great tight ends. And that's true. You know, he does have a great defense. He does have some great weapons. But a lot of the top quarterbacks have really good players to throw the ball to, really good players around them, good coaches to help them. I mean, that's part of what makes a good quarterback. So we're not going to tear down Stetson Bennett. Again, he is a very good quarterback. Now, what we will say, what I will say, is that Stetson Bennett, being a very good quarterback, should not put you in Heisman consideration. Being a very good quarterback is not a Heisman finalist quarterback. There is a separate tier, a tier above being very good. There is an elite, transcended, a generational kind of tier, a group of players that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that are just the best in college football, the elite players. That is different than just Stetson Bennett being a very good quarterback. And Hendon Hooker this season was undoubtedly one of those top-tier, best players in the country, elite quarterbacks, driving, winning. You know, program-changing quarterback is what Hendon Hooker was. And Stetson Bennett was not that. So to see Stetson Bennett above Hendon Hooker, to see Stetson Bennett as a Heisman finalist, it's incredibly disappointing to just see Hendon Hooker be left off. I think Hendon Hooker embodies, really, what it would mean to win the Heisman.
Yeah, I think it's so frustrating because you saw Hendon Hooker dominate college football for well over two-thirds of the season. And again, like a lot of times, you know, the playoff rankings end up being is just what's the feeling towards the end of the season. You know, it's not taking in the full body of the resume. It's not taking in the full body of work that's gone in through the whole year. Because I mean, you look at it, Hendon only missed one game. Like, if I feel like the reason for him not getting an invite is because he's injured, and I understand that. I mean, Blake Corum is not invited because he's probably injured, and I feel like
Blake Corum not being invited is just as bad.
It's unreal,
almost as bad.
And the similarities between the two is they're hurt, and I'm sure, you know, it comes down to they're hurt and they're not playing again. And why would we want to talk about or give a Heisman Trophy nod to someone who's not even going to play in their bowl game, which is brutal, which should not be the case.
Yeah, you know what Stetson Bennett was doing while Hendon Hooker was busy with a torn ACL on the final week of the season? He was going 10 of 18 for 140 yards against Georgia Tech.
I mean, yeah, it's not like Hendon missing one game even set him back in terms of any stats. Like,
you know what CJ Stroud was doing the final week that Hendon Hooker missed? Oh, he was throwing two interceptions and getting beat by 22.
Yeah, it's unreal to punish someone for being injured based on what they've done the entire season. I feel like that's what went into this decision.
Right, like, if Hendon came out, I mean, if you know, I think really he's getting punished for the South Carolina loss. Honestly, that's
what
I think
it
is.
Is absurd.
I think that Hendon Hooker is being punished for the South Carolina loss to an unfair degree, just as I think when it comes to the college football playoff rankings, the football team got punished to an unfair degree for that South Carolina loss.
If Hendon's getting punished for that, I don't understand how Caleb Williams doesn't get punished for the same thing. It doesn't seem logical that it's not being used for the rest of the field. And it also, you know, you feel like a lot of those guys are in there just because they're going to be in the playoff. And, like, you're going to talk about these teams and these guys in the playoff, and it makes it more exciting when one of them meets in a championship game. When C.J. Stroud meets Stetson Bennett, they're going to say, oh, these are two Heisman finalists that, you know, both went to New York, and now look, they're playing in the semifinals. So, unfortunately, there's that part of it. You know, if your team is in the playoff, you're probably going to get the nod to go to the ceremony because it builds up a storyline. And Stetson Bennett, yes, is a good quarterback on a good team, but he's not the sole reason why Georgia is in this spot, whereas I feel like, you know, Hendon Hooker was the driving force, the MVP
of this Tennessee team.
He took a team that won, what, we won 7 games last year, 6 games last year?
Yeah, I mean, before that was firing their coach.
Into a 10-win team on his legs and his arm and his leadership and his ability to just work so hard. And just, like, I don't know, just the, I feel like you see the requirements of a Heisman candidate means. Like, he's got all of that to him, and it's a shame that he doesn't at least get to go be a part of it. I didn't expect him to win the Heisman. I think he probably, you know, still could have won the Heisman, given, you know, there, I feel like there just hasn't really been that front runner.
I mean, I still think there's an argument to be made that he should win
I agree.
Heisman.
No, I think there is
an argument. But there isn't even an argument to be made that he should be a finalist. That's just, that should be a foregone conclusion.
If you're
going to
invite four individuals, he, without a doubt, deserved to be among those four individuals, and I hate it for him because he won the AP SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
On the same day that, he wins the offense, the Player of the Year, Stetson Bennett
is not even
one of the two all SEC quarterbacks.
When was the last time an SEC Player of the Year that was on offense didn't make it to a Heisman Trophy ceremony? Right? In the best conference in football, Player of the Year doesn't make it to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Now, I feel like it's just offensively because Will Anderson Jr. should have been in the ceremony last year. I mean, Kenneth Walker last year, he should have been there.
All right, let's see. Offensive Player of the Year winners in the SEC last year. Bryce Young.
Heisman.
Won the Heisman. Devontae Smith.
Heisman.
Won the Heisman. Joe Burrow won the Heisman.
Heisman.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Candidate.
Candidate?
What year?
In 2018, candidate. Yes.
Let me see. Had to be, right? I mean, he was Tua.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That was peak Tua.
He didn't win. Kyler won, but Tua was second. Tua was invited. He was second.
Did Kerryon Johnson get to go in 2017? No.
He did not. Lamar Jackson won. No SEC person was invited to that Heisman Trophy ceremony.
Okay, so there's one. 2017 is the last time the SEC Offensive Player of the Year did not get invited to the Heisman. The majority have also won the Heisman. 2016, Jalen Hurts. He was a finalist, was he not?
No.
No? I thought he was like the third.
2016? Was Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
That's the year Lamar won.
2016 was the year Lamar won?
Yeah, it was Lamar, Baker, Jabril Peppers, and Deshaun Watson were at that one.
2015, Derrick Henry.
He won.
Exactly. 2014, Amari Cooper.
He didn't get invited.
No.
He probably should have, though.
Probably should have. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. How did he not get invited? He had 130 receptions for, like, 1,800 yards and 16 touchdowns.
They finally, it started. I mean, DeVonta Smith kind of changed the game where they were like, oh, let's just finally give a receiver again
a
Heisman.
They really didn't even want to, though, also. Like, that kind of just felt like they didn't really have anyone else to give it to. But yeah, like Johnny Manziel, Trent Richardson, Cam Newton,
Amari Cooper,
Ingram, Tim Tebow, Gary McFadden, like all of these guys.
I think Amari Cooper was invited to 2014 because he was third in the voting.
Yeah, so I mean, all of those guys consistently, like you're seeing SEC Players of the Year get to and win the Heisman. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to take the Heisman seriously anymore to me. Like it's getting it's growing that way. Or it's trending that way, like increasingly more as the years go on for me. But it's hard to take an award seriously when, you know, it's almost entirely quarterbacks and when it seems to be mostly a popularity competition.
It's frustrating because it is such a big award and it's like it won't ever go away. Like,
it's who's the prettiest girl with the ball kind of competition.
It's the Heisman. Like, it won't ever lose credibility.
Never. But it's frustrating because you feel like it could be done significantly better.
Yeah. It just is unfortunate because it's like the player that wins this is they get that legacy. Like it's such a big deal.
I mean, if you're a running back, like what more can you do that Blake Corum didn't? Like, I mean, there's still more, but like to not even be a finalist, that's absurd. And I think it's just because Blake Corum hasn't been, you know, pushed as a star as much this year. Week 7, week 6 before people were really like, oh, wow, this Blake Corum guy's tearing it up.
It's been this way, I feel like, for the last 10 years in that, you know, there's just so much social media that a lot of the guys who get a lot of hype, a lot of buzz end up being the ones that go down there. A lot of teams that end up getting the buzz, the fans, the viewership, they end up being the ones that go down there. I mean, that's how it works out. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like the best players should actually be rewarded at the end of the
day. There are just a lot of people that I would take over Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. There are more people I would take over C.J. Stroud.
Really? than Stetson Bennett?
No, I would take CJ Stroud above Stetson Bennett, but okay. I'm just saying both of them. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think there are people I would take over both of them, but I know for a fact that there are people that I would take over Stetson Bennett. I would take Blake Corum over Stetson Bennett. I would take Drake May over Stetson Bennett. I would consider Bryce Young over Stetson Bennett. I would consider Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix Jr. over Stetson Bennett. I would even think about Mohamed Ibrahim or Marvin Harrison Jr. or like a Jalen Hyatt over Stetson Bennett.
There's nothing about this list of four that just excites me that the Heisman Trophy once did. You know, you as a kid or just like you always get to that Heisman, you're like, this player like really pumps me up. Like, I love this player. I'm not getting that from this group of four.
And what, that makes it two years in a row now we've kind of had that feeling?
Yeah. Why are we not like rewarding the exciting players at the same time? Like, I don't know.
I mean, last year Will Anderson should have been the Heisman winner.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
For sure.
It's another gut punch, really. It's kind of crazy to me that in a season for the Vols that we've had, for our fans that we've had, after all the bad that we've seen over, 12, 13 years now, after all of that bad, we finally get like this magical season, this season to be celebrated, this season to you know, feel what it's like to be at the top a little bit, to just experience being like one of the better programs in college football, and still somehow in Tennessee fashion it ends with a gut punch. It ends with Hendon Hooker tearing his ACL and
at the same time
winning the Heisman. And it's not that like none of that makes this a disappointing year. Like none of that makes it, you know, like makes this year something to be unhappy about or complain about. This year is incredible. This year is something that, you know, we had dreamed about for a while. And hopefully you build on it, but I mean, absolutely, you're heading in the right direction. Like, this is a massive year for this program. It's just, it's almost just interesting, ironic that even in a year like that, it still kind of ends with such a big gut punch with South Carolina and with the Hooker injury, and now with the Hooker snub.
Yeah, you know, at the same time, like, you know, you essentially just like keep letting them disrespect if they want to, you know, like, I feel like, you know, maybe some of these teams get that benefit of the doubt because they, you know, they've been in command for so long. You know, Tennessee's still trying to build up that way. You hate that it, you know, it is this way, but keep under the radar a little bit. Maybe keep that chip on your shoulder. It could benefit you for the next few years, you know. Still a lot to prove, clearly. If you're not getting that respect, then I don't know, keep trying to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe
I hate that it has to like be that way.
Maybe there'll be a little extra fire for the Orange
Bowl. Maybe it will.
Maybe you'll see an inspired team. Hopefully a little extra fire can like keep Joe Milton's throws in the general vicinity they're supposed to be
extra
in.
Extra fire to already a lot of fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this Orange Bowl, man. I am, and we have plenty
That's
of time
cool.
to get into
That's
that,
cool.
too, in the
yeah.
next, like, 3 weeks. But catch a break here. Man, it just stings for Hendon, man. It's disappointing. I was really, really, really excited to get to be in that moment and to be included in a moment like the Heisman ceremony and get to see Hendon on that stage. But we carry on, and the Blitz carries on next. Stay with us on Fan Run Radio.
Draft axe throwing is a game that anyone can play. Score points by throwing axes at a giant dartboard-like target. The closer you get to the bullseye, the more points earned. And with both casual and competitive throwing events, Craft Axe Throwing offers something for every skill level. And with a TV viewing area and a large selection.
Big Orange Philly phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in if you want to get on, talk with us. Let us know how you're feeling today. I know there's a lot of anger out there. Big Orange Philly, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. It's your spot to go for a lunch break, for some burgers and brews after work. Maybe you want to go watch a game there. Maybe you want to Find a spot on the weekend. Live music, karaoke, pool, darts. All that and more. Big Orange Phillies. They got some delicious food, some awesome vibes. Again, 6625 Manorville Pike and Halls. You can check out their menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. So, Andy, Portal Day yesterday started up.
Okay.
You had, I believe it was 667 football players enter the portal yesterday.
That's a lot.
Which was, yeah.
Well, how many football players play football? What's the percentage?
There's a lot.
That's a lot. So,
a lot of football players.
Really, maybe it's just a small sample size.
It was record-breaking.
I'd say.
It was record-breaking. Here, let me pull the tweet back up. It was, yes, this was yesterday at 4:45 p.m. So I'm sure that number has increased dramatically. But this is from yesterday at 4:45 p.m., 667 players have entered the transfer portal today. That's an all-time daily record exceeding the previous high of 270. So by 4:30 yesterday, more than three times the daily record of players entering the portal, I guess it transpired. 62 of those quarterbacks, by the way. Seems to be a trend there yesterday. We saw a lot of veteran quarterbacks. That, you know, your Devin O'Leary's, your Brendan Armstrong's, guys that are older, guys that are going to be, you know, 22, 23, 24, that are going to go basically try to play 1 year somewhere else and see if they can boost their draft stock, see if they can win some football, whatever else. You almost wonder if maybe those guys, some of them, I saw someone suggest this yesterday, would be better off going to like the XFL or USFL and trying to play that for a year and boosting their draft stock that way.
I don't know.
Just guys that, you know, haven't really improved significantly in college, but you know are just like those good college guys. It would almost be better for their draft stock to like go compete against different like professional competition. I don't know if I agree with it or not, but it was an interesting point. But one of the things that I kind of love about the transfer portal, man, it's like window shopping. You know, you just go over to like 247. You start scrolling who's hit the portal. Yeah, I think I'd like that guy. No, I think I'd take him. I like him as well. No, he sounds good.
What do? You just like give him a call at that point? Like if you're a coach, you just start calling?
You just get in contact with people basically, yeah. It's funny, but
how do you think those conversations go if you're like a staff and you're like, "All right, I'm going to try to talk to like 100 people today."
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of like high-level athletic departments at this point, like Tennessee's, for example, they have entire portions of their staff dedicated to basically evaluating most of the players in college football, so you're ready whenever guys hit the portal. You have an eval on them. You know whether you like them or not. Yeah, I think that job sounds like a blast. That sounds like, to me, that sounds like the most fun job in college football, is to like be the portal guy.
Do you think it's like... Do you think there are like apps, like they have like a database?
Well, that's what they need is portal Tinder.
I was thinking more like the fantasy app,
players
like when
can
someone
just swipe on each other.
Yeah, like someone hops in the portal, they get a notification. It's like Mike Wright, quarterback from Vanderbilt.
You got a new like. Oh, who's it from? Please be Power Five. Please be Power Five. Please be Power Five. Oh, Akron.
Oh. Linebacker from Akron.
I was like Mike Wright, you know?
Mike Wright.
Tennessee's in the portal, yeah. Like, oh, we got a new quarterback likes us. Is it Drake May? Oh, no, it's just a guy from Tulsa.
Mike Wright, not bad.
Some Tennessee portal news, though. I mean, we've seen the portal entries. You had your Jimmies, Callaway, Holiday.
Oh, really? I didn't see who had opted in.
You had your Jimmies. You had Lyneth Whitehead, Justin Williams-Thomas, and Miles Campbell so far. None of those really drastic losses, like all just depth pieces. Miles Campbell, I mean, that's a position of need, at least tight end, but like, I don't know, he didn't really seem like a guy that was going to fully crack that rotation. You know, a lot of those guys maybe even probably had it suggested to them that, hey, there wasn't great opportunity moving forward to earn a lot of playing time, and that there could be opportunities at better places, because right now the limit of how many players you can take in a class or in the portal is off. It will be off for 2 years. as you try to get some teams, you know, catch up roster-wise. There are some teams that got pretty behind with their roster numbers. So, I mean, you can take as many players as you want. You just have to be under 85 total players, like roster-wise. You have to be under that 85 number. Tennessee in a spot where I think you'll see them add somewhere between 5 to 7 players in the portal, ideally. I think that's what they're looking at. I would like to see that number be even a little bit higher, but I think you're probably going to see them at around 5 to 7. I think you're going to see them try to get a starting wide receiver, a starting tight end, a starting tackle, or at least guys that can compete to start at all three of these positions. I think you're going to see then Tennessee address the cornerback position, maybe try to get a couple of guys in the secondary. And then I think they'll be interested in just getting another running back in there. Not necessarily like a star running back, but just somebody that kind of to fit into the fold a little bit. So that's where I think you see Tennessee kind of attack the portal. I would like to see Tennessee go after a quarterback. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't expect them to, but I would like to see it.
I don't expect them to be like extremely aggressive with it. But if something works out and it's a good fit, then yeah. I mean, I don't know. You definitely have pieces to play with there. So I don't feel like that's your most urgent spot. But if Coach Heupel thinks something fits right, then you're going to go for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
But you still have a very talented freshman coming in that you want to develop, and you've got a very experienced veteran returning that you already know. So maybe if you add another piece of the equation, it kind of throws some things off. I don't know.
I think what you're looking at right now with Tennessee, Joe Milton, Tennessee's not in like a super desirable spot for one of these portal quarterbacks. Like if you're one of these upperclassmen, potentially even senior, potentially grad transfer quarterbacks, you're not going to want to go to a spot where there's a Joe Milton there, where there's a five-star freshman incoming and Nico Iamaliava. You know, you're not going to want to go to a spot like that. So, like, Tennessee is not that desirable of a spot. Now, if they're going to either have to commit fully to Joe Milton or back out on Joe Milton. Now, if they're out on Joe Milton, then they could go get a quarterback, but you know, whether they should be or not, I don't think you'll see them make that decision this early. Now, if Joe Milton goes and has a bad Orange Bowl, and then you can clearly really feel like, hey, I don't know if Joe Milton will be the guy for us, then you could see Tennessee look to the portal for a quarterback. But at that point, you know, it's January, and your options have been picked through. You know, there is no more Devin Leary, I assume. There's no more Spencer Sanders. There's no more Brennan Armstrong and Jeff Sims, like those guys will have been scooped up. So I think Tennessee's in a spot where, you know, they're not going to make quarterback a priority now.
Spencer Sanders in the portal?
Yeah, Spencer Sanders in the portal. And then it'll be too late to make quarterback a priority if Joe Milton isn't good.
Why is he in the portal?
I mean, why is Devin Leary in the portal? Like, why are any of these guys in the portal?
Wow.
Go get a bag.
True.
I mean, that's what it is. Like,
interesting.
Spencer Sanders, is he going to have a good NFL career? Like, is he going to be a highly drafted player? Probably not.
I'm not.
I mean, he's probably going to be what?
Third rounder?
Day three guy?
Yeah.
Like, sixth round, seventh round, UDFA, maybe. But can Spencer Sanders hit the transfer portal and get someone to give him a mil, two, to go play quarterback for him for a year? Maybe. Probably. So, like, I guess I get what's kind of happening with some of these upperclassmen QBs that maybe haven't quite developed enough to be high NFL draft picks or anything like that, but are very good college quarterbacks. I wish Tennessee would get in on a quarterback. I would love to see, like, a Devin Leary or a Spencer Sanders or a Brennan Armstrong or, like, one of these guys. I would love to have a one-year transfer quarterback. And I think you've seen some of the top programs. They're not scared to make moves like that. And I think if you're Tennessee, like, I don't know. Can't be really scared to make a move like that either, because I don't think Tennessee can win more than 8 or 9 games with Joe Milton. I think you want to continue to build on this year. You know, you want to continue to try to compete for championships. Like, you're going to need a better quarterback. So I think you either commit fully to like Nico or you commit fully to going to the portal. But Tennessee's not going to do that. So I guess it doesn't really matter what I think. You're going to be in a spot where maybe you try to add a depth quarterback, a one-year kind of guy after the Orange Bowl that, you know, isn't really going to be any better than Joe Milton, isn't really going to be a world beater. What Tennessee is after right now, some early names to keep an eye on. You have a tackle from Rhode Island, Johnny Cornelius, an all-conference guy, a big body, you know, 6'5", 320. He's going to be widely sought after, but Tennessee has offered him. They are very much in the mix for him. Another guy that you're really in there for, Kyle Morlock, a tight end from Shorter, 6'7", 250, one of the more intriguing tight ends in the portal. Tight end right now, probably the biggest position of priority for Tennessee, potentially at least. 6'7", though, 250, just a good receiving back with multiple years, a good receiving tight end that can block too, but with multiple years of eligibility. A bunch of schools have already reached out to him. Tennessee, one of the guys that has reached out to him as well. And then Deontay Thornton, Ryan O'Keefe, a couple receivers. Deontay Thornton from Oregon, O'Keefe from UCF. O'Keefe has put up some nice stats. Familiar with Josh Heupel to an extent from the UCF history. Think both of those guys have heard from Tennessee. I think both of those guys will definitely strongly consider Tennessee. I think that's kind of the spot you're with there. And then Ra-Ra Thomas, too, Mississippi State receiver. Tennessee has been reportedly in on him since he's hit the portal as well.
Okay.
So that's kind of where you're at now. New names continue to pop up. I think you're also, you know, maybe going to take like even a kicker if you can. And then the name that intrigues me most from the portal right now that Tennessee's been connected with. See, this is the position that I am willing to if I were, you know, in charge of roster building over there, I would allocate all my resources towards defensive back. Fintrell Cyphers II. He is a second-team all-ACC guy, had a bunch of pass breakups, a really strong cornerback, a guy that presumably would start for you day one. He hit the portal. Tennessee was the first team to reach out. Tennessee reportedly had a phone call with him as well last night. Hopefully that went well. I've not seen any updates or anything from that phone call. So that's kind of where you're at. You know, a tight end, a corner, a tackle, a receiver, maybe a kicker, maybe a running back, but definitely a couple corners, and definitely a tight end, definitely a tackle, you know, definitely a receiver. Like those are the spots that you're going to target. I haven't seen if Tennessee's been interested at all. A guy that, speaking of tight end, that hit the portal last night, Jaheim Bell hit the portal.
Okay.
The South Carolina tight end that's just also played some running back. An incredible athlete, one of the better tight ends in the country. If he's utilized correctly, I think he's a guy that can be like an All-American. Tennessee could utilize him. Tennessee could utilize him correctly. That's a guy that I say this strictly without any knowledge of whether there's any interest there at all, mutually or non-mutually. But Jaheim Bell is a guy that I would just really love to have on this football team. We'll keep an eye on the portal. It's just really fun. I don't know. To me, at least, I think it's really fun. It's like free agency, but on drugs.
I'm with it.
It's like, it's just entertaining to me. But Tennessee, I kind of think it makes or breaks next season a little bit, how well you do in the portal, because you need to add not just players but starters in the portal this season to your roster. Again, we talked about it, when you take over a team these days with the portal being a thing, you know, you lose a lot of your incoming freshmen, you lose a lot of underclassmen. So when you get into year three, you know, you don't have that same kind of cupboard of players that you've been developing, that same cupboard of underclassmen. You're going to have to find guys to fill out your roster another way, and quality players at that. It's going to have to come through the portal. So should be fun, but hour one done. Hour two on deck. Stay with us here on The Blitz.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the
Craft Axe Throwing is a game that anyone can play. Score points by throwing axes at a giant dartboard-like target. The closer you get to the bullseye, the more points earned. And with both casual and competitive throwing events, Craft Axe Throwing offers something for every skill level. And with a TV viewing area and a large selection of beer and seltzer, Craft Axe Throwing is perfect for a company team-building event or just a night out with friends and family. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking online at craftaxethrowing.com. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville at 119 West 5th Avenue.
Fan Run Radio's College Football Bowl Picks Contest, presented by Crown Cleaners, is off and running. To enter, find the link on our Facebook or Twitter feed, make your picks before the bowls kick off, then sit back, enjoy the games, and see if you win. This year's champion will receive gift cards from Crown Cleaners, the Pizza Kitchen, and Alumni Hall. It's Fan Run Radio's College Football Bowl Picks Contest, brought to you by Crown Cleaners, providing Imperial dry cleaning service to all of Big Orange Country for over 50 years. Linderman Sports Medicine, the Volunteer State's leader in